controls a body, how it controls a system. And by the way, it does. I love hearing people, oh, I control it. Yeah, you're a fool. You're not going to control it. It'll control you. By the way, if our kids can't have it, we shouldn't have it. Right? I mean, you wouldn't give your kid a beer, would you, or alcohol or anything. And so why are we doing with it? And if we're spirit-filled, we wouldn't even want it. Yeah, I just thought about that. Amen. Keep going. That's not my message. All right? So you cannot live the spiritual life. You cannot have a spiritual life without the Spirit of God in your life and ruling in your life. Can I say this? One day without our lives being controlled by the Holy Spirit could be the one day that changes the course of your very life. It could be the day that whenever you step out into the fleshly life, it could be for us here at church, it could be your last. For those who a husband, it could be end in divorce one day without the Holy Spirit ruling your life. For a preacher, it could be that one day that disqualifies him for the ministry. But can I say it's so important that we live each day, each moment, each hour filled with the Holy Spirit of God, allowing Him to control our life. Why? Because if the Holy Spirit, if God's controlling our life through His Spirit, then everything's going to go according to the way God wants it to go. But I promise you, I've never gotten in trouble while I've been Spirit-filled. I got in trouble whenever Michael Wiggins said, I got this. Right? Well, I give you three things tonight. We're going to talk about the fundamentals of being Spirit-filled, the fruit of being Spirit-filled, and also we'll talk about the failure of not being Spirit-filled. So number one, the fundamentals of being Spirit-filled. We've already talked about these. Last week I talked about giving up, giving over, and giving in to the Holy Spirit of God, to God. And so tonight I'll give you three things underneath that, the fundamentals of being Spirit-filled. We see, first of all, you ask to be filled. God said, ask and it shall be given. I believe that we have to ask the Father to say, fill us with your Spirit. I believe He'll do that. And we'll show some conditions here. But I believe the second thing, the fundamentals, is not only just to ask, but it's also to yield ourselves to the filling of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because it's not your will, it's God's will in your life. Yielding our lives shows that we are in need. That we're no longer wanting to be in control of our life. Don't you hate whenever you're not in control of your life? You know, I was when I was going through paramedic school, I was riding on the truck one day, and we give these medications. Some of you would know these medications, but they paralyze you. And when somebody's having certain events in their life, we'll paralyze them so we can control their airway and things like that. And it's weird to give these drugs to these people, and there's a couple set of drugs that you can give them. You give them that medication, and they're looking at you and everything, but they can't move their body. You know what? That's a horrible feeling. And I want to be in control of my life by the Holy Spirit controlling my life. In other words, I don't want me to be in control. I don't want something of foreign nature to control my life. Amen. So as we look at this, we see the fundamentals is to ask, to yield, but also I believe the fundamentals of being Spirit-filled is to be clean. You got to be a clean vessel in order for God to use you. And I believe God, by the way, I wrote this down, I believe it's so true, God is willing to fill anyone who is empty. Why in the world are we going to come to the Lord and say, Lord, fill me up, and you're already full of you? I'm good at filling me up, right? With myself, but when we come to the Lord empty and broken and of the broken and contrite spirit and a broken heart, and when we come to Him, He will fill us. I believe, and now I'm going to give you the last point, the failure not to be Spirit-filled. The failure not to be, what is the dangers of not being filled? Well, number one, there's no control. There's no control of your life. In other words, the ways of man, there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is death, right? By the way, our heart is deceitfully wicked. Our path will lead us into, our flesh will lead us into the wrong path. But when we are not Spirit-filled, when we say no to the filling of the Holy Spirit of God in our life, there's no control in our life. Matter of fact, Romans chapter 8, verse 5 says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. In other words, if you don't have the Holy Spirit controlling your life, that simply means the flesh is. There's three things the flesh likes. The pride of life, the lust of the flesh, and what is the pride of, what is the lust? Oh, heavens. Eyes, whatever they are. All those bad things. Can't even think of them. Now my brain went, well, it never started up, but the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. There we go. I have to say them all together. Either it doesn't work. That's what our flesh wants to do. It wants to pull us into the world, whereas the Spirit of God wants to pull us into the spiritual life. When there's a failure to be filled with the Spirit, there's no control. Well, be underneath that. It's kind of the same thing. There's no direction. There's no definite direction in your life. By the way, we've always heard it. If you don't know where you're going, anywhere will get you there. That's kind of the way I drive. Amen. Sometimes I'll ask Donnie, I say, where you want to go eat? What's every woman say? Oh, I don't care. They do care. They just want you to guess. Right? Say amen right there, guys. It's okay. We'll be all right. Let's just be truthful. I don't care, honey, wherever you want to go eat. Well, you want to go to Cousin's Park? Well, I'm not really in the mood for a bar. Strike out there. Well, you want to go to Chili's? No, we just had Chili's. Okay, well, where would you like to go? Well, no, wherever you want to go. And we got to keep playing the guessing game. She's not going to give in. Pastor knows what I'm talking about. We do this all the time. So what I do, my wife will tell you, if she doesn't tell me, I drive. I don't care if I'm in Dallas. I will keep driving. I don't know where we're going, so guess what? Any place to get us there, right? That's the way some people are. They have no direction in their life. They're just aimlessly just wandering in this life. And I'm telling you, you let the Holy Spirit of God fill your life. He'll give you direction and purpose in your life. Amen. The last thing is the failure not to be Spirit-filled. There's no reward. By the way, if you're not living a Spirit-filled life, you're living a fleshly life. There's no reward for that. There's nothing that God can reward you for with that life. And so as we look tonight, I really want to get to the fruit of being Spirit-filled. The fruit of being Spirit-filled. I think this is where I feel that I need the most help. And so how do we see that we're Spirit-filled? What is the fruit of being Spirit-filled? Well, notice if you will back in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19. Matter of fact, verse 18 is... It's just a continuation. Verse 19 is just a continuation of verse 18. And by the way, music goes hand in hand with being Spirit-filled. By the way, you either sing for flesh or you sing for God. You're either in it for you or you're in it for Him. I've been on both sides. I know what it's like to want this. I can show you videos that you'd laugh at. Pastor's seen the video. It's embarrassing. I don't even like to look at it anymore. The old life I used to have, I sang for myself. I sang for the glory. But I'm telling you, when I came and I said, Lord, you gave me this talent. You gave me what little bit I have, and God, I'm going to use it for you. I'm going to tell you what, God began to bless my life. Why? Because I, as a Spirit-filled person, and we'll talk about this here in a little bit, it changes when the Spirit fills you, when you're filled with the Spirit, it changes your audience. It changes your audience from you and me to Him. And that's what he talks about in verse 19. He says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Now notice what he says, singing and making melody. Now notice what I'm not preaching on music tonight necessarily, but he says, notice again, and making melody in where? He's not even talking about the vocal singing in the last part of this verse. He says, in your heart. You know the problem with a lot of us, why we don't sing correctly? It's because we don't sing from the heart. It's because it's not from our heart. It's not a melody in our heart. In my heart there rings what? A melody? It ought to resonate through our heart before it resonates out of our mouth. The song ought to be from our heart. We ought to feel it in our heart. I'm telling you, I can listen to some songs, and Miss Angela and Miss Tanya can tell you, when we practice a song, we'll practice it and go, nope, that ain't it. It's not working. And then, boom, we can roll through another song. Boom, there it is. It falls right in place. Why? Because that song resonates in our heart. It resonates in our heart first. But notice who he says our audience is. He says, making melody in your heart to who? To the Lord. And so what happens? What is the fruit of being Spirit-filled? I believe, number one, underneath that, is that it will change your worship life. It will change your worship life. There's three areas of our life that being Spirit-filled really kind of change or kind of shows us that we're Spirit-filled, and it is our worship life, how we worship the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, I believe that's what verse 19 is talking about. It's not talking about a concert. It's not talking about some show. It's talking about fellowship and worship of the Lord through song and through that melody in our heart. By the way, when you open up that psalm book, this is worship. It drives me crazy when people don't sing. I mean, I know it does, you know. I mean, there's some people that, you know, they don't want to sing because they're scared of what people may think. But I'm telling you what, I believe that the start of the service is not when pastor gets up here and starts preaching. The service started way before. That's why it drives me crazy when people come in too late. They miss the singing. I'm like, you just missed the best part of warming up and getting our heart ready. And I understand sometimes people come in for work. I'm not talking about that, but I'm saying you're missing the singing and getting our hearts. And we're singing to who? To God. When you're Spirit-filled, it changes who your audience is. It's no longer for you. You know, I don't care what you think as long as He's good with it. By the way, if He's good with it, I'm Spirit-filled, you're Spirit-filled, we're all going to get along. Yeah. It affects your worship life. By the way, I believe John said this in chapter 4, verse 24. He said, God is a Spirit. Who is the Spirit of God? Oh, it's God. God is a Spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him two ways, Spirit and in truth. I love these new churches. Come to our church. Two things, praise and worship, praise and worship. We're going to worship. We're going to come to our worship service. They never worship. They don't know what true worship is. True worship is not how bouncy we can get. I'm drive down the road and get bouncy, especially in Tarrant County. The paving job here are amazing, you know. But I'm telling you, worship is whenever we get along with the Lord. When we're Spirit-filled, it's God's Spirit in us. And we're just communion one-on-one. And we're worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. We're worshiping Him. We're worshiping our Father, our Creator, our Master. And we're worshiping Him and His majesty and glory and all these things. I believe you can have worship service during the song service. I believe that the greatest time we ought to worship is when we're given the pot. We used to call it that. In the plate, right? Put the money in the pot. That's what we used to say. Sorry, I went back to the Hicks. We used to have pots, you know, instead of plates. Plates were for the fancy churches. That was for the rich churches, you know. Yeah. Brother Grice still uses chicken buckets. KFC chicken buckets. I was like, that's a pot. You put the money in the pot. But, you know, when the offer plate, that's worship. When we give unto the Lord, whether we're giving a song unto Him, whether we're giving our money to Him, whether we're just giving praise to Him, whether we're giving thanks to Him, that is our worship. Communion with Him. I believe the second thing, that the fruit is not only shown in our worship life, but I believe that it's shown in our family and our social life. I'll just give you these verses, but it affects our marriage. Being spiritually filled affects our marriage. Chapter 5, verse 21 through 32. I know that's an illustration of marriage versus the church, and he's given that great mystery to the church at Ephesus there, how the marriage is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and His church. But he also is talking about the Spirit-filled Christian, that his marriage will work. Her marriage will work if the spouses are Spirit-filled. Why? Because you got the same goals, you got the same vision, you got the same priorities in life, and everything's going to work out. Why? Because the Holy Spirit of God is controlling you. The times whenever the marriage is not going to work out is the times whenever we step out on the flesh and say, I got this. The marriage ain't going to work that way. Our marriage is not going to work if we're both in the flesh. You know why? What does the flesh represent? It represents selfishness. What does the Spirit represent? It represents servant attitude. I'm a servant to her. She's a servant to me. That works out pretty good. But if I want my way and she wants her way, it doesn't work out too good. Right? Well, he doesn't show me enough attention. That's not the attitude we have. Our attitude is, have I showed you enough attention? Boy, doesn't that change things? Our marriage lives. By the way, there's nobody in here with a perfect marriage. Because there's nobody in here with a perfect spouse. I should have heard a lot more amens right there. I did like some of you ladies go, I like that. Yeah. But none of us are perfect, right? And I'm glad God forgives and we can rebuild that thing. But if we want to stay out of trouble in our marriages, we stay Spirit-filled in our marriages. We take care of us being Spirit-filled and making sure our life is right. I believe that also we see in chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first and great commandment, with promise that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on earth." God gives a promise to the children. He also gives talks about the parents there. He says, verse 4, he says, "Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath." By the way, the Spirit-filled father will not provoke his children to wrath. He will provoke them to do good. Because why? The Holy Spirit provokes us to do good. And so we pass that on to our children. Notice what he says. He says, "But bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." How are you going to do that if you're not a Spirit-filled father? How are you going to raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and in His knowledge? How are we going to do that if our lives are Spirit-filled? I believe the fruit of it is that it will have an effect on our kids. Not only on our marriage, but it'll have an effect on our kids. We should allow our kids to see the Lord Jesus Christ working through our life. I wrote this down. I probably have to really explain this, but I'm going to say it. I think too many times as parents, please don't write me any letters, but give me time to explain this. I think too many times, sounds good in your head, you know. So many times, I'm saying me. I'm not going to say y'all. That way you can't get in trouble. Sometimes Michael Wiggins depends too much on grace and forgiveness as a parent. Now, we need grace. We need forgiveness. But if we're Spirit-filled, we go into the parenting doing right and not having to clean up so many messes. I know when Michael Wiggins has made a mess as a parent, it's whenever I was not Spirit-filled. And we're like, well, God just gives us grace. He does. But I think sometimes it's more of that radical grace movement. Well, I'll go do what I want to do, and then God's grace and God's forgiveness will just cover it up. We shouldn't depend on it to do that. We should depend on the Holy Spirit of God to walk us through and be a parent. I don't know how to be a parent. Nobody gave me a manual except for this. I don't have a clue. My kids come to me, and, you know, and they're like, "What? I don't know what to say to you right now. But I know a God. We'll just pray about it." I don't know. I mean, you know, sometimes your kids, they go through things. I don't know how to help them unless the Holy Spirit of God helps me to help them. And so as a father, as a mother, we want to be good parents. We can't depend just on God just to always come in there and clean up our messes. He will. But we shouldn't set out to be that way. Does that make sense? We shouldn't set out to be the parents, "Well, I'll just do the best I can and God will just handle the rest." We should have that attitude. We should have the attitude of, Holy God, fill me with your Spirit and allow me to not make mistakes. I made those a long time ago. I'm tired of making them. I'm ready to make somebody see Christ in my life. My kids to see God working in my life. Well, good. My dad made a great decision right there. How did he do that? Oh, the Spirit of God helped him. God helped him in that. Now, obviously, my kids seen a lot of grace and forgiveness in their time. Because I've allowed the flesh sometimes to come out and be a roaring lion. You know what I'm saying? You know what? I don't want my kids to see that. I want my kids to see me doing right the first time. And not having if we constantly got to go to our kids and apologize to them, obviously we're not living the right life. Does that make sense? Me. I don't want to have to go to my kid's bedroom every night and say, "Daddy did it again." My kids are going, "Is he ever going to get this right?" You know, so many times the kids have to raise the parents because they've learned how to be Spirit-filled in children's church and in youth department, and the parents ain't figured it out yet. "Daddy, you know what you need to do? We need to pray." "Oh, that's a novel idea, son. My kids shouldn't have to say that to me, right? I should be the one saying, kids, why don't we pray?" I wish I could always say that I've always been a Spirit-filled father, but I can't. And neither probably none of us could. And that's why we do have grace. That's why we do have forgiveness. But we shouldn't set out to use that. It's kind of like whenever y'all remember typewriters? Everybody remember those? The goal of a typewriter was not to use the corrector. Y'all remember? Ching! I remember those days. Yeah. When you was in class, they didn't want you to correct what you just done. They wanted you to set out to do right the first time. But every now and then you was glad that eraser, that little whiteout thing was there, right? Go back and start over. Well, it's there, but we shouldn't set out to use all the white up in the first round of our typing. Makes sense. I'm moving on. I believe it affects, if you write these down, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5 through 9, being Spirit-filled will affect your workplace. I believe we see it here that we ought to obey those who have rule over us. I believe as a Spirit-filled person, I believe if we walk into the workplace, I believe it's going to affect our coworkers, it's going to affect our bosses. I was telling somebody the other day, I don't know if it was somebody that just got a job and they'd already got moved up. I was like, you know what? If you want to progress in a company, all you got to do is just do right and be there on time and do your job. Because there's too many lazy people in the world today that just want a paycheck. I hear it all the time from, there's some guys that work at Chick-fil-A that are managers at our school. And I was asking about some of our church members, how they were doing. And they said, man, they're doing good. You know, it looks like they're already going to be moved from, one of them got moved from the line to the window or something like that. It's like just because they do right. I was like, that's it. That ought to be our life. They ought to be able to look at us and say, there's a Christian right there. There's a Spirit-filled person. I believe, last thing tonight, not only does it affect our family and social life, but also it affects our warrior life, our soldier life. We're called to be soldiers. And in chapter 6, we know these verses, verse 10 through verse 19, we see all the armor. And verse 12 tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. By the way, you and yourself will never defeat the devil. You will never defeat this world. You will get trampled. You will get crushed underneath just one pinky of the devil if you're not living a Spirit-filled life. Because I want to show you something. And I'll look at a few of these here in a minute, but notice verse 17. I'll just focus on this one. He says, and take the helmet of salvation. That's good, amen? Keep your head straight. But notice what he says, and the sword of the Spirit. So who possesses the sword? The Spirit. It's his sword. You read the scripture? It says, and take the sword of the Spirit. It's not your sword. It's his sword. Everybody understand? Well, Scripture says, what is it, though? It's the Word of God. Which is the Word of God? What does the Holy Spirit use in your life as an offensive weapon? One thing, that's the Word of God. This is the Spirit of God's sword right here. In other words, you can't just take it and just willy-nilly around with it. You have to do it through the Spirit of God in your life. Because He's the one that has the power. God's power works through you. You and yourself don't have no power. You and yourself don't have a sword. It's God's. It's the Spirit of God's sword that works in our life to defend us and to help us to on the offense and on the defense of the battle that we are on. By the way, we're all in a battle. And what kind of battle is it? It's a spiritual battle. And in the flesh, we will lose every time. Oh, preacher, I got this. You whip out your little butter knife. I'm going to go after the devil. I'm going to bind him today. Yeah, you come back. When you do, we're going to put you in pieces. Y'all remember Mr. Potato Head? Mm-hmm. He carried all his parts inside and you had to put him back together. Yeah, that's what Satan will do to you. But if you allow the Spirit of God to fill your life, you can fight the battle because you know why? Because you got somebody fighting it for you. The Lord told Israel many times, He said, I'll fight for you. And yet all they had to do was trust Him. All they had to do was just go forward and go. And He said, I'll fight for you. I'll take care of the enemies for you. You just have to trust Me and yield to Me. You know what they did? No, we got this. Their entire life they had to deal with the battles after battle after battle. Why? Because they said, we got this. I think we can handle the Philistines. Saul couldn't even handle him. He was the biggest man there that day and couldn't even handle him. But one Spirit-filled young man, Spirit of God was upon his life. He said, he defied the army of Israel. Saul, you could hear the quaking of his knees. The biggest man on the battlefield. And he said, we can't. They're giants. We can't go. David said, I'll go. And David went. Why? Because it wasn't David that had the power. By the way, it wasn't the stone that necessarily killed him. It was the Spirit of God working through David's life. And God slew the giant. We always sing the song, Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. Joshua never fought the battle of Jericho. God did it for him. God just told him what to do. And what did Joshua have to do? Joshua just had to yield himself to the Lord. And God said, I want you to do something that's not going to make sense. By the way, the Holy Spirit's going to ask you to do things that ain't going to make sense sometimes. God's going to ask you to do things and the Holy Spirit's going to lead you in those. And you're going to go, God, this doesn't make sense. But it's God working in your life. Just to see, by the way, if it made sense, it wouldn't be faith. When it doesn't make sense, we use faith and we trust God. I wish every day in my life I was Spirit-filled. Because I look back on Michael Wiggins' life and I go, oh man, I remember that day. That was a bad day. Why was that a bad day? Because I wasn't Spirit-filled. I was looking back on some of my old messages and probably I'll look back on this one and say the same thing. I go, I preached that? That wasn't even scriptural. Where did I get that message from? Wow. People listened to that and didn't get up and walk out of the church? Wow. I'll tear that one out of my binder and just make it disappear. Because you know what? I've wrote messages out in the flesh. Mad at somebody? I'll put them in this message. I won't name them, but I'm going to put everything about them in here. And when you preach it, everybody's going to go, well, he's talking about him. Yep. That wasn't Spirit-filled. I preached messages that I thought, man, this has to deal with nobody in our church. And give the invitation, and it's like a flood. I'm like, what just happened? Well, the Spirit of God was leading me to preach that message. And it wasn't Michael Wiggins preaching that message. It was God preaching to His people, just using us. How's your life? Is it Spirit-filled? How's your marriage? How's your parenting? Whew. You ever think, I'll be glad my kids are raised so I can quit making mistakes? Sometimes I think that. I'm like, man, but I want to do right. And the only way I'm going to do right is to allow the Spirit of God to fill me and work in my family's life. The only way mine and Donya's marriage is going to work is for her to be obedient to me. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just making sure y'all are listening. They were like, yeah, no, that's not right. No, it's for her to be Spirit-filled and me to be Spirit-filled. Our common interest is Him. What about you tonight? Are you Spirit-filled? Are you working on it? Trying? You know what? I'll take somebody that's trying over somebody that just don't care. Because you know what? I'm the person that's just trying. Every day of my life to be Spirit-filled. Let's stand tonight. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Father, we love You.